Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. This is the third week of shows dedicated to candidate interviews for the provincial elections for Northumberland Peterborough South to be held on June 2nd. The order is completely random based on when the various campaigns were able to book interviews. The last two candidates for the provincial election are interviewed on today's show. The first will be Joshua Shaloub, the candidate for the New Blue Party. This is the first election for this brand new party. He lives in Hastings. Here is Joshua Shaloub. I'm so pleased to have with me today Joshua Shaloub, the candidate for the New Blue Party of Ontario. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
Before we go too far, for listeners who have not heard of the New Blue Party of Ontario, can you give us a quick synopsis of the party and its history?
Well, we are a fairly new party that was formed approximately 2 years ago by Belinda Karyholias and Jim Karyholias. Many know Belinda as the MPP that was kicked out of office while she was running under the banner of the Progressive Conservatives under Doug Ford, at which point both her and Jim decided to start their own Conservative Party, which was shortly after certified by Elections Ontario. If I'm not mistaken, it was sometime in 2019. 2020, and at which point they have been working diligently to find candidates for every single riding in Ontario. And as a new conservative alternative in Ontario, we have constructed a pretty simplified platform with a number of different points that we call the New Blue Ontario Blueprint, which can be found on the website. So we are not so much a new conservative party in the sense where we're changing what conservative values or principles are. We're reaffirming those existing historical values and principles as a party that we believe the progressive conservatives have lost over the past few years.
Before we get into the platform, for those who have never heard of Joshua Shaloub, can you give us a short bio, maybe a bit of your background, please?
Sure. Well, I've been a resident of Ontario for over 35 years. I've recently relocated to this riding, Northumberland Peterborough South. I live in Hastings, Ontario. Prior to that, I have lived in Whitby in Durham region for almost 30 years. I have a paralegal diploma. I have a four-year Bachelor of Honours in Legal Studies, and I'm currently working at completing my Bachelor of Education at Trent University. I've done some teaching with individual private schools, teaching slash tutoring for those that need the extra help. And obviously with the shutdowns of schools, we went to online learning, and a lot of students had difficulty adjusting to that change, to that different, to that concept of online Zoom curriculum. So I went out and I helped those individuals, those students, hone in their abilities through the online version of schooling.
Do you have family?
I do have family. I have an older brother, and my parents are actually in their 80s. And so they have their own struggles in terms of mobility and health issues. And so I have taken it upon myself to look after them. during their struggles. I didn't feel that I wanted to have them placed in a long-term or retirement home. I wanted them to stay here, and I wanted to be their primary caregiver.
Let's move on to some of the issues in your party's platform. One of the top items on your party's website is the end of all COVID mandates, including the repeal of emergency measures, vaccine passports, etc. Why is this necessary? As I understand it, none of this is in place anymore.
Well, in fact, I'm going to respectfully slightly disagree with you, because as it stands right now, and we're talking, I'm speaking to federally, we do have travel restrictions right now for Canadians who are unvaccinated. They are unable to board a plane or a train to leave Canada. In fact, even interprovincial travel is limited with restrictions to vaccinations. And we feel that while our belief that the vaccinations are important, I mean, they have been scientifically proven to work and to be a viable method of reducing transmission of diseases and virus, we do not believe that they should be mandated. We do not believe in dividing and segregating groups within our society. We believe we should be united as one and not divide each other. And we should allow the individuals to self-assess their own risks, do the right thing for themselves and for others within the community. At the same time, allowing them that medical autonomy where, you know, they can make the decision for themselves whether or not they wish to be vaccinated or not. And I think that's important for every Canadian.
I'd like to move on then now to talk about affordability, because this seems to be a key theme in this election. How would your party make life more affordable for Ontarians?
Well, part of our blueprint is growing Ontario's economy. So we would like to grow the economy, by the GDP, by 5% annually. We want to reduce electricity prices by improving productivity of how electricity is distributed and reaching residents. We would also like to provide tax relief by cutting the HST from 13% down to 10%. So a 3% reduction in the provincial HST is something that is important to us. And we are passionate about removing and axing the Doug Ford carbon tax. I think we've seen the prices of fuel rising to exponential rates at right now, and it's just not sustainable. It's not affordable. And this government has not provided any real relief for residents at the pumps. It's not good enough to say we're going to, if we're reelected, then we'll drop the fuel prices by 5.2 or 5.6%. or cents rather, come July. Ontarians need relief right now, today, not in 3 months if you're elected.
All right, let's talk more about that part of your platform, because it states on your website that it will grow by 5%, taking down wind turbines and reducing electricity prices and improve productivity. How is removing wind turbines going to make it more affordable to live in Ontario?
Well, the wind turbines that were placed by the previous government, we all know that there's been a number of issues with that portfolio. This technology is new, it's expensive, and we've seen the cost of building these wind turbine farms. The big issue for me with the wind turbines is that you have to find huge pieces of land in remote areas to build enough of these wind turbines to affect a reduction in the price of electricity. So when you have to build a land-based site in a remote area, you have to build transmission lines to bring the electricity from those wind farms to more urban cities. That's expensive, it's costly, and it's not something that is going to be able to reduce the hydro rates right now. It may affect itself in 6 months, 12 months, and down the road. And there is apart from that, there's a development of these wind farms is expensive, it's costly, and it's also very costly to maintain these. wind farms. When a turbine goes down, it's expensive to repair and maintain these areas that have so many of these turbines.
So I understand you have a problem with wind turbines, but we're talking about the Ontario economy and your promise to grow it by 5%. I'm not clear yet on the relationship between doing all this work with the wind turbines and how that's going to help me afford groceries or make other parts of the economy generate the 5% growth that you're wanting to achieve. Can you help me make that connection, please?
I think we need to see fiscal responsibility and how provincial monies is being allocated and transferred. I think we've seen a lot of money, millions of dollars, that are being transferred to different corporations, to different sectors of the economy, that is not per se helping residents right now who are struggling to meet, you know, just paying their bills, paying their mortgage, their rent. I think a lot of this is not just an issue of wind turbines, but it consists of affordable housing. It affects the fuel prices. It affects how we dole out money to large corporations. Are we holding them accountable in terms of huge profits and then gifting them millions of dollars for things that really they should be paying for themselves? They're a profitable company. It should not be funded by taxpayer subsidies. And when you look at all these different things, I think this is something that will help Ontario's economy in the long run.
Let's move on then to healthcare. Now, this is a major issue identified by our listeners in our election survey. What is your party proposing to improve healthcare in Northumberland, Peterborough South?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've seen the issues that are affecting our hospitals, affecting the way we deliver healthcare to residents in this region. Historically, rural Ontario has been left behind in how healthcare is being delivered to them. I think that we need to have more community engagement. We need to partner up with municipalities, perhaps partner up with the federal government at some point down the road, and find a solution that a patient living in Northumberland County can find a doctor, can find a family physician, can find a walk-in clinic. The demographics out here, the population, we have over 25% of Northumberland County is over the age of 65. And I've read somewhere in stats that we'll be hitting targets about 35% in the next 5 to 7 years, where 65 or over will be predominantly part of this population. So healthcare is going to be a huge issue for these individuals, and receiving the proper treatment and resources and diagnostic testing is paramount to keeping people healthy. We haven't seen that. We need to meet local needs. There is no one size fits all to the issue, but we need to be responsive to community needs. So I think we're allocating a lot of funds and a lot of energy into the GTA in Toronto in terms of healthcare, but rural Ontario is being left behind. And we haven't seen improvements in healthcare. And I'll give you an example. Last Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Camelford Memorial Hospital was actually, their emergency doors were actually closed because they lacked sufficient staffing to keep the hospital open. So when you have such a wide landscape relative to this riding, you're looking at 35 to 40 kilometers to the next hospital. So when a region's hospital is closed for a day, half a day even, it may impact, it could be a life and death impact for a patient, perhaps having a heart attack, suffering a heart attack, to be redirected to another hospital 40 kilometers away. So we haven't seen the proper investment in healthcare in Northumberland, Peterborough South. The accessibility in my view should be no more than 30 minutes to access services. So a 30 minute drive is really sort of the maximum where we should be looking at in terms of delivering healthcare. There has been no innovation, no new models of care delivery in this region as well.
So wait, what about the Ontario Health Team though? The Ontario Health Team Northumberland. Is that not what you're talking about, or is that something different? Help me understand, please.
Well, I don't think that we have seen the, are you talking about sort of what used to be called LIN? Is that what you're referring to?
I'm talking about the Ontario Health Team, Northumberland, the one that is going around now doing consultations, and they coordinate all the services between all the various healthcare providers.
So we've seen a lot of these committees and a lot of these organizations talk about improving healthcare, talk about delivering reasonable healthcare in a timely fashion. But I think it's we need to stop talking and start doing. Because when I go out and I'm campaigning and I'm meeting residents of this riding, I'm hearing the same thing. We can't find a family doctor. We haven't been able to find a family doctor in the last 5, 6, 7 years. The population is growing out here. A lot of residents are moving from the West over to the East. So at what point do we stop talking and do we start affecting some real positive change?
So how would you bring more doctors to Northumberland?
I think we need to find new models of care delivery. We need to find more innovation. And if that means that we need to incentivize new doctors coming out to relocate to rural Ontario, whether it's paying them more or finding ways to attract doctors to come out and relocate to rural Ontario to be able to take on new patients, that is something. I think what I'm seeing right now broadly in this region is we have a lot of online Zoom relationships with doctors. And I think part of that is with telehealth as well. Whereas you go into a walk-in clinic and you're having a Zoom call with the doctor. But there's a lot of things that are part of diagnosing issues, medical issues that need to be done one-on-one in person. But we don't have that here in this riding. We're not being responsive to the community needs. And the innovation is, one, bring in more doctors, fund proper healthcare initiatives. We have seen this government provide over $1.5 million to Campbellford Hospital over the past 2 years, but we have not seen an improvement in patient delivery. If you go to the emergency department, you're waiting 8, 9, 10 hours to be seen, and there's only five or six people actually sitting in an emergency room at that time. The hospital is not running at 100% capacity. The money is being used to work on infrastructure. And right now I know that Campbellford Hospital, for example, is looking to build a new hospital. But my take is if you can't run the existing hospital efficiently and within the proper fiscal constraints, then how will that change when you build a brand new hospital apart from having a brand new building? You need to prove that you can run this hospital efficiently right now at 100% capacity, deliver the proper medical resources to the residents. For me to say, you know, okay, it's worth the $300 million investment to build a new hospital.
What about long-term care? There is a need for an additional 42,000 beds to meet the current demand for long-term care by 2023.
Well, there is a shortage. There is a shortage of long-term care beds for those for seniors who are at that point where they can no longer fend for themselves. I think something we were looking at in the past was when the previous Liberal government started to program out these home care PSWs and in-home care to keep seniors at home longer. We have seen that failure right now, where there is just not enough PSWs to reach all of the individuals that are at home who need home care. If we worked on that program itself and we made sure that we had enough PSWs and nurses to be able to service all of the seniors that need in-home care, that would alleviate some of the pressure of needing a bed in a long-term care setting. But we do also need to look at building more facilities. And I will personally say that I think one of the failures of this program itself in terms of long-term care is that we privatized it. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, that was privatized back in the day of Mike Harris when he privatized long-term care. And we've seen a reduction in accountability. We've seen service levels go down. I mean, that was proven during the pandemic when we had the people going in and assessing the situation. Residents were being left without without water, without food, soiled diapers. This was all documented in a number of different studies that were done during the pandemic. So we need to hold facilities accountable. We need to increase funding so that we can maintain these long-term care settings in it, so that the individuals who are there are able to live with dignity. And I think that's what we're missing right now. So it's yes, we need more long-term care facilities to be able to transition those seniors who are going to be moving into that setting. But we also need to make sure that the settings that we have right now are running properly, are running with dignity. They're respecting the individuals who are in those homes. But we're not seeing that there. There's been budget cuts across the board for inspectors going into different long-term care settings. We're not being inspected on a yearly basis anymore. And we're leaving them to self-govern themselves, self-inspect themselves. And I think that's part of the problem as well.
I'd like to talk about the education policy. Your party wants to reduce administrative costs and introduce alternative schooling tax credits. First, can you explain how your party would reduce administrative costs inside of public schools?
Reducing administrative costs. Well, I think one of those issues is that we have a lot of money being allocated to unions. The unions out there have been pulling in a lot of money from the provincial budgets. That is something that needs to stop. We have perhaps a lot of fat at the top.
Can you explain how the school tax credits would work?
The school tax credits. Well, I think we would prefer to provide parents a tax credit and let the parents decide where their children would be best suited, whether it's public schools, Catholic schools. Right now, we're spending a lot of money on Catholic schools, spending money on public schooling, and there seems to be a disconnect between the two. If we remove that and we allow parents to make the decision and provided them with a tax credit, rather than providing that money to the brass, then parents have the ability to make sound decisions based on the needs of their children and their beliefs and values and principles, where they want to send their children, as opposed to having the government tell you, here's where your child is going to be.
It's in your party's education policy that it wants to stop the, quote, woke activism and the removal of critical race theory and gender identity theory from schools.
Okay.
Can you explain what that all means?
Well, this is a contentious issue. And we've heard from a number of different parties who have been advocating for critical race theory to be taught JK to grade 3, which encompasses a lot of technical sexual issues. It also relates to how we view quote unquote white privilege and racism. And it's being taught in a way where almost some of the white students, white children, are feeling as if they are now part of the problem. So in a way, it's almost anti-racism at this point. I think the critical race theory and the theories behind it and the way it's being taught needs to be held off for a while. I don't think we should be teaching these young kids this. I think we should let kids be kids, let them interact with one another. Let's stop dividing children based on their skin color. Let's stop dividing children based on sexuality or how they view sexuality. This is something that should be left up to the parents to decide at what point should their children be taught this or be informed about this. But teaching these children at JK to grade 3 levels, I think is personally too early and is not productive. I think it's something that the parents should be questioning and making that decision as to when they feel best to implement these changes or these thoughts into children. I think we're doing a little too early, and we're not allowing parents the option.
So is your party's position just in the early grades, or is it not to teach critical race theory or gender identity? throughout the education system?
Well, the party stand is yes, it would be across the board. It wouldn't just be from JK to grade three. I personally feel that it's something that is being taught too early, but as a party principal, we want critical race theory removed. We want gender identity removed from all grades. It's something that should be left up to the parents to decide if and when this is taught to their children. It's not something that we should have the educational system impose upon parents and children.
Your party's principles say liberty is best promoted through the ability of individuals to make decisions in their own best interests, encouraging free will, including freedom of speech, worship, assembly, association, political participation, conscience, and religion. So while recognizing the responsibilities that accompany all those rights, then aren't you taking away people's right to learn about different perspectives and different genders and those kinds of things in the public school system? Aren't you limiting the freedoms rather than encouraging them?
I'm not sure how you've come to that to that statement, really. Perhaps you might want to clarify to me a bit.
I just wonder to what extent, like, to what end does it serve? I mean, critical race theory helps us better understand the different perspectives of history. Is it not the role, some might say it's the role of education to provide different perspectives of history and the events of history? Why is that such something we shouldn't be learning in public school?
Well, maybe because it's become a biased way of teaching it. It's become something that is one-sided, and I don't think that it's being taught holistically. I think children are being told now, and I can attest to this of having been a mature student at a university where CRT and white privilege is something that's being taught in university classes, where someone who believes otherwise is being told that you're not actually correct in your assumption. So I was clearly told that because I did not believe in the perspective of white privilege, that I was in some way part of the problem, and I was some way condoning racism, and which isn't the case. So I think it's being taught in a very narrow-minded lens, and it's short-sighted. I think that needs to be, if you want to teach perspectives of any issue, really, it should be taught in a more holistic manner, in a more fairer manner, in an unbiased, unprejudiced fashion. But to tell one side of the story, and if you question it, or if you feel that, you know, it's something that doesn't resonate with you, to be ostracized and scolded for it, I think there's a problem with that.
To finish, tell me one thing you are passionate about, a hobby or a guilty pleasure or an activity that has nothing to do with politics.
Well, I really enjoy, I had mentioned to you earlier that I had just moved to Hastings from Whitby. And part of that reason was because I wanted to be more outdoors. I wanted to have sort of more of that quiet, serene life, you know, where there isn't the traffic, there isn't the hustle and bustle. And so for me, being one with nature is something that I'm passionate about. I love being able to go out, you know, in the late evenings and take the dog for a walk and be at peace with nature. And I'm very passionate about making sure that communities have enough green space to be able to unwind and feel more peaceful, more at ease. And I think it's good for the soul, it's good for the body, it's good for mental health. And so that's something that I'm really passionate about, making sure that we take that time to enjoy our surroundings and our green space and nature as a whole. I think it's important.
Joshua Shalhoub, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Joshua Shalhoub, candidate for the New Blue Party. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.